Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Wednesday means sports. The Red Sox are on a roll. They defeated the Yankees in a four-game sweep over the weekend, and they appear to be well on their way to completing their first 100-win season since 1946. But I have to say, appear. There's always this hedging with the Sox. So joining us to talk about this and other sports news is WBR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Hello, Shira.
Hello, Magna. I know you were glued to the television for all four games, right? Staying up late, catching the extra innings, right?
Me? I was glued to it by way of all the people telling me how amazing the series was. So speaking of which, let's play a little bit of tape here, because on Sunday's game, the Sox stretched into that game into Monday morning, ending with that 5-4 win with, okay, this is where I sound like I know what I'm talking about, Andrew Benintendi's game-winning walk-off in the 10th.
The Yankee right-hander's pitch swung on and a bouncer toward the right center field area. That's through. Here comes Renda. He scores. And Andrew Benintendi sends us home.
Okay, that sounded great. Do you think they will finish the season strong as well?
Yes. And it's really interesting now, because you're getting to the point in the season where they're pulling out all these stats. You mentioned they're on pace to get more than 100 wins for the first time since 1946. And everybody's saying, well, you know, of the teams that had this many wins since 1900, I think it was something like 18, and then 15 of those went to the World Series, and 9 of those won the World Series. So you get all these analytics guys, you know, throwing out numbers about how good this team is going to be. But what you just heard, that walk-off hit in the 10th inning, is why I think there's a lot of reason for hope that this is a World Championship team, a World Series championship team, because they're a resilient bunch. You never ever feel they're out of a game.
This is the opposite of Red Sox fatalism, though.
I know, and that's what's so wonderful about this team. And it's interesting to me, you know, this has now become sort of the character of teams in this city. You had the same sort of feeling about the Celtics too, despite all their injuries this season, that this was a group that had great chemistry and was never out of a game. And you feel in many ways the same way about the Red Sox, albeit on a higher level, because they're having a historic season. But you do feel this great chemistry, this sense that, and it was again last night. I mean, let's not forget, last night they got their 80th win with, I think it was a 5-run 10th inning in Toronto. I mean, they are always one swing away, it seems, from getting back in a game if they're down. And, you know, they're not always down, or not often down.
Wow. I'm not sure, like, how is Red Sox Nation supposed to define itself if not through, like, the
through
dark
misery?
Hang cloud of misery? Yeah.
Well, here, I'll give some reality check, because playoffs, you know, to be completely cliche, totally different ball game, and you can't sleep on any of the teams, even in, you know, the American League, whether you're talking about Houston, if the Yankees make it as the wild card, you know, who knows what's going to happen out there, how it's going to shake out. I've heard people talking to me about Cleveland. They're worried about the Athletics, if the Athletics make it in as the wild card. So listen, there's going to be plenty to worry about come October. You can get white-knuckled then.
Good. So everyone take a deep breath. Pessimism can still reign supreme.
Yes, I was going to say, we got that storm cloud. It'll come back. Don't worry.
But on actually one more serious note about the Sox before we move on to other sports, I just want to talk about Jerry Remy for a minute, facing another major health battle, his sixth time being diagnosed with cancer. I'm just wondering how the Red Sox community are just reacting to this.
Yeah, Nesson made that announcement yesterday that Jerry Remy was once again battling cancer. It's just devastating for Red Sox Nation, for those who follow the Red Sox, for those who enjoy Red Sox broadcasts. I mean, Jerry Remy brings a real life and spirit. He's sort of like the spirit animal of the Red Sox in some way. He's the guy who kind of, you know, just makes you have fun listening to the game. Those broadcasts, especially when they can go from late night into early morning, can be a bit tedious at times when the runs aren't coming in, and Jerry Remy is always there with some levity.
Okay. Well, we wish him all the best as he undergoes treatment again. Let's move on and talk about the Patriots. Their first preseason game kicks off tomorrow against Washington, right?
It's a muted yay because it's preseason. I mean, how can you, with a team like the Patriots, get excited about preseason? This is all about the postseason.
But my question is, scripted here, is what are you getting most excited about?
Okay.
season?
Well, I'm excited.
The people want to know.
The people want to know. Well, people. I think you get excited to see some of the new players, how they fit in. It's always interesting to see some of the guys who are second and third string, see whether or not they have the stuff to make the team and be real contributors and be impact players. I'm sure we'll get a good long look at backup QB Brian Hoyer. So that's exciting. But really, the real excitement is going to come during the regular season. I'm most curious to see if there seems like there's this brewing soap opera between
Brady. I was going to say the drama.
Exactly, between Brady and Belichick. And what's going to happen there? I mean, they say all the right things. I mean, or if you're Bill Belichick, you really don't say anything. but, you know, where does that go? Is there a crisis point? Is there a tension point in the middle of the season, during the season, if things aren't going well, where things come to a boil? I'm there for the soap opera.
Their
personal
the drama.
Opera. Exactly.
All right. But there's some other NFL news that you wanted us to talk about. This is really interesting because former Patriots wide receiver Randy Moss was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. And he wore a tie to the ceremony that got people talking a bit. What was on that tie?
Well, the tie had the names of victims of police brutality. I mean, it had all the names, you know, that you would recognize. Eric Gardner, Tamir Rice, Freddie Gray, Sandra Bland. And it went on and on and on. And you know, Randy Moss afterwards said, this is a way of me making a statement and letting them know that they're not alone, and that at a big event where I have a big platform like this, I'm not going to forget.
Well, we actually have him explaining just that. Here's Randy Moss.
By these names on my tie, at a big platform as the Pro Football Hall of Fame, there's a lot of stuff going on in our country. And I just want to let these family members know that they're not alone.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting to me because it's not the first time a professional player, has used clothing. Let's not forget LeBron James had the I Can't Breathe t-shirt that he warmed up in prior to a game. You're going to start seeing, I think, because Trump has made such a big deal with the anthem protest and the kneeling, players trying to find creative ways to raise their voice, to make a political point, or just to make a social justice point. And it's going to be interesting to see throughout this NFL season, but also I think throughout the NBA season and other professional athletes, how they handle this and how creative they get in terms of sending a message. I thought this was a fantastic way to send a message, and it's got a lot of people talking. I hope it gets more people talking.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all tend to talk about men's sports a lot, so I'm going to go
too
over,
much.
I'm going to go over time here because I just want to ask you one question at least about this really interesting story coming out of the WNBA. For the first time in WNBA history, the Las Vegas Aces, the team.
Love them.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
They forfeited
team,
a game.
Yeah, they forfeited
What's going
a
on
game.
With this?
So yeah, they had to travel to Washington, D.C. for a game. And because of flight delays and cancellations, it actually took them 26 hours to get from Las Vegas to D.C. And they arrived, I believe it was 4 hours before tip-off, having not slept, having been up all night. And they were like requesting from the league, do something. And all the league was going to do is, I believe, push the tip-off back an
hour.
Were
they taking like commercial flights?
They were taking commercial flights. This is something that would not have happened in the NBA because they take charter flights. And listen, this is sort of, and the players basically said, you know, we don't want to risk our health. You know, when you're fatigued, it's a higher risk of injury. We're not going to play. The league ruled that this would be deemed a forfeit. It may eventually cost the Las Vegas Aces a spot in the playoffs. That's the incident. I think the bigger message, the bigger picture here is female athletes, female pro athletes deserve respect as female pro athletes.
And full stop.
I mean, there's no halfway. You can't have them taking commercial flights, flying 26 hours, and then expect them to play. And there's going to be some reckoning, I think, in the upcoming collective bargaining agreement negotiations that they need more respect as athletes.
Well, WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer walking us through this week's sports segment on Radio Boston. Thank you so very much, Shira.
You're very welcome, Meghna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.